You know, there's a reason for cautionary tales.
Then why don't more people heed their warnings?
I don't know. But after they hear my new show, they will think twice.
Oh yeah? About what?
Eating Tide Pods, playing with Ouija boards, talking to Karens, you name it. If you should heed caution, we're talking about it.
Check out Harper's brand new podcast, Cautionary Tales with Harper. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download podcasts.
And be sure to press subscribe and give us a review.
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Subscribe wherever you download podcasts today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a ghost get involved with the finances of two people all the way to using their own credit card? That's a question we asked today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Support our show, become an extra podcast person, EPP as we call them. You do that at ghostpodcast.com. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month to get access to all of our bonus episodes. Brand new ones released every single week. We call them EPP bonus episodes for extra podcast people. EPP members also get advanced episodes of the show weeks before they're released to the public, and they're ad-free, so that's another perk. You also get our ebook, our audiobook. That right there, a $30 value included. They're Amazon bestsellers. You can get a month free if you want to sign up for an annual membership. That option available for you on both platforms now, too. Either ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. That's how we keep this show afloat. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm still recovering.
Still recovering from the last recording that we did 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had my x-rays yet. We'll have that info soon.
Can we post them online? Post the x-rays online?
No. I mean, I'm not afraid to do that. It's just I don't know how we would get that, you know.
Insta x-rays.
Okay, if I can shoot a picture on my phone.
I don't know why you'd
show
want
my cracked ribs or whatever I've got whatever going on.
Should be interesting to see what they say. What's your prediction?
I don't know. I've not had an injury like this before, so mm-hmm. I don't know if they're gonna say, well, you bruised your ribs mm-hmm. and that's really painful, or sure. that you've torn something, or that I've cracked them. I mean, I'm not gurgling, so thankfully I don't have a punctured lung, but
that's a plus.
It still hurts to breathe because of the expansion of my lungs. Mm-hmm. So
once they've told you what's going on, then you need to say, but what about the voices?
But no. My doctor doesn't have that good of a sense of humor to where I could do that. Now, there's some that I would totally mess with, but he's not one of them. He's too serious. Yeah.
That would be probably wouldn't go over well.
No.
I'd get a call because I have to stay here with the girls while you go. I'd be like, Tony, they need you to check me out because I did your voices joke.
Right.
I'm like, damn it. That's a long drive.
In a padded van headed to a facility.
It was a joke.
I know.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. A little bit later in the show, we'll talk about an experience we had over the weekend. Me and the girls walking around, as you're probably sick of hearing about now, the haunted battlefield that's near our house. Because it's COVID and there's no other place to walk around, so we go to a haunted battlefield. But this time, we got something. And we weren't even like really seriously looking. The girls are just more curious about some of these buildings. We weren't like ghost hunting, you know,
I
quote unquote.
I thought you were going to do the Janine, we got one.
I did say that on social media. I said, we got one. But our older daughter, Livy, she was doing some video and it's interesting and we'll talk about it. Maybe she can even come in here and talk about it too. I know she's like doing some schoolwork right now, but
she's done with schoolwork. She's doing teenage girl stuff, like okay, her hair.
So maybe we can break up the hair and TikTok for a few minutes. And,
yeah.
And but we'll do that a little bit later in the show. It's cool. To me, of all the things ever captured on camera that have been in our circle, whether I caught it, you caught it, or somebody in our family caught it, this I think was one of the coolest.
Yeah, it was cool. I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't there.
You would have freaked the... We're leaving the park right now.
Well, I was laid up dealing with my ribs, so yeah.
Thank God that horse bucked you off.
Oh,
otherwise,
fuck
we would.
You.
I'm kidding. Jeez. I'm completely kidding.
Thank God that horse bucked you off.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to go on our ghost walk.
Well, you know what? I've been getting shit about the horse bucking me off all weekend. You know what Libby says? She says it sounds like on Mortal Kombat when they're kicking each other. She said the sound I made when I landed is just this, you know?
She actually said Street Fighter, but...
Street Fighter, yeah. Whatever. It's all the same shit.
Well, if you like to argue the differences to Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter.
I don't argue that.
I was a teenage boy at the time of their popularity, so I can argue that pretty
good.
Could
care less.
I know. But it did kind of have that sound.
Thanks.
And then there was this really weird sound after the end when the horse bucked you off and it goes, finish him. It's like, what the horse? What the hell?
You were scared and you know it.
I was. And I got the horse away from you so it didn't trample you.
Well, yeah, because the horse is half blind and couldn't see that I was laying on the ground. Yeah. I mean, I was trying to breathe.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as I finished making my TikTok video, I tried to help. I'm kidding. I wasn't making a video. I did run over and got the horse away from you right away.
Yeah.
And I said, get up. Quickly. And I know I knew, like, I didn't know what, like, if you could or not, but I just wanted you to, if you could, get away from being trampled. But
yeah, so I'm still here to make ghost stories for another day. Otherwise, I'd be on the other side making ghost stories with you guys.
Be doing a little Ouija ghost stories. Be interesting.
Don't use a Ouija board to contact me when I'm dead.
Can we try?
No.
No?
No. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use my favorite word. And I'll just make you go, F, you, yep. You'd be like, yep, mom's here. We know mom's here. The F word just showed up.
I was thinking it would be fun to play Cards Against Humanity with the girls once we're past. Instead of having a Ouija board, though, you just like tape down the Cards Against Humanity cards. And we can still play it. We just move the planchette to the card that we want to pick for the one that we're playing. So we can still enjoy that game together as a family.
So we... have played Cards Against Humanity with both girls, but when we play with Harper,
we edit it.
We take out all the bad cards, and I think anybody that's played that game knows the bad cards.
Yeah.
So we just make it. It's almost, you know, to the point where it's like it's tamer than apples to apples. So it just is a way to help encourage Harper to read,
and she thinks it's hilarious. And she actually had that idea yesterday in the truck. She's like, you know, when you're a ghost someday, Dad, we can still play that game. We'll just do it like a Ouija board. And you can move the planchette to whatever card you think is funniest. So she's planning family board game night.
Oh, God.
Once we're dead. So just so you're aware, you think I plan ahead. That kid's planning ahead.
I know.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story. It says, I have a coworker that has had a haunting experience, possibly demonic. When he bought his house in Decatur, Illinois, he had no idea of the history of the house that he had bought. This house was later found out to be the Hatchet House. A family used to live in the house, I believe, in the 60s. They had a son that had gotten out of the Marines and came back home. For unknown reasons, he took a hatchet, murdered his mother, father, and siblings. He was asked why he did it, and he basically said a demonic force forced him to do it. This can be fact-checked by looking up the Hatchet House. My coworker's experience has described it that of almost of the Conjuring movie. The house he lived in for about 5 years was the Hatchet House. His experiences were everything from priests trying to bless the house, churchgoers blessing the yard, a medium that would come in and tell them that there was demonic activity in the house. The medium told him that if there was an evil presence, that her skin would turn to scales of an amphibian. He was shocked when he saw her skin do just that down their arms. The medium identified a closet in the house that she said she could not enter because of the feeling of an evil presence. Their last night in the house, there was a crashing sound coming from the kitchen. He got up and out of bed and went to go investigate the noise. When he proceeded down the stairs. As soon as he stepped foot in the living room, he felt like something jumped onto his back and was trying to desperately claw at him. He went through the living room. As soon as he stepped foot in the kitchen, it stopped. After investigating the noise, he found nothing. Getting ready to go back upstairs, he stepped foot in the living room and the same thing, feeling if something jumped on his back and he was desperately clawing at him. As soon as he stepped foot in the stairs, it stopped. He ran upstairs, and when he entered his bedroom, he had a look at him as he had just seen a ghost. He told his wife to pack essentials, to get his kids, and that they were leaving. His kids would have night terrors. One of his youngest kids would have seizures about 30 a day. 2 weeks after they moved out of the house, the seizures stopped. At 3 years old, he told his dad he had a dream of Jesus shining armor coming down and moved his son behind him, took out his sword and slew a dragon that was terrorizing him in his dream. Never had a seizure since. This is just highlighting the story. My coworker can go on in great detail of every experience. If interested, I can try and reach out to him. This story has always haunted me.
The Hatchet House. We're going to have to look that up.
See the story on it?
I wonder if there's a Wikipedia on it. That would be a good dark side, too.
The Hatchet House. Let's see what we can find.
Because any house where somebody's murdered, especially in a gruesome, murders their family in such a gruesome way, I mean, there's got to be something out there on the internet about it.
There is a lot out there about it, it looks like.
Harper was singing the Lizzie Borden song yesterday, which, you know, she went to the Borden house at the battlefield, but it's not the Lizzie Borden house. It's just the Borden house. But she comes in, she's in her little nursery rhyme voice. Lizzie Borden took an axe. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, stop. It's creepy.
It happened. I'm reading the article here, the murder. I mean, it is like Lizzie Borden-esque, but I mean, this one in more modern times, I believe this was in the 60s.
So it's almost like an Amityville with a hatchet.
64 is when this happened. Amityville was the 70s, but yeah, it's dark. So I could see why you would have something in it. I feel bad. I mean, I have no idea what's going on in the house today or if the house is still around, but there are information. There is information out there about this this place. Yeah. Creepy.
Yeah.
I don't think I would deal well with knowing that that was my my home.
No.
What if you got a house and you found out that later after the fact? How would you handle that?
That somebody had murdered their entire family in the house?
Yeah.
I think I'd have issue with that.
Would you move? Would you? Here's the bigger question.
If I could, I would.
Would you let new people know of the story that you were deprived of knowing trying to sell the house?
No, because that doesn't help with resale value.
No, not at all.
But I mean, in some states, legally that has to be disclosed. Sure. But in some states, it does not.
Yeah.
We're in one of those states where they don't even talk about ghosts or anything.
No.
You know? But I have a website that I go to and I'm not promoting them, but that's how I make sure that doesn't happen to us.
There are certainly ways of looking this sort of thing up.
Yes.
I mean, if you were to buy this house, I think you could probably put the address in and you would find the news stories.
Yeah.
So this one's not exactly super hidden for being something that happened in the 60s. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that happens, you know, where people end up getting a house and they find out later that something really... I mean, this is pretty dramatic, so I see how the legend of it or the story of it lives on. But, you know, I could see very easily, you know, there being houses, you know, from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, where there was just a single murder, you know, not hatcheting up your family, but, you know, something horrible, a domestic dispute where somebody got shot or something bad.
You think there's people out there that search out homes like that, like ones where serial killers had mm-hmm. notorious serial killers had, you know, done the deed, and they search out homes like that to purposely live in?
Not necessarily. Well, I don't know that purposely live in is it, but people do search them out now for paranormal tourism. Uh-huh. And then try and quite often you're not going to make much of a living on it. Mm-hmm. But it's more so for historical purposes of these buildings are either going to get torn down because they have no resale value because they are notoriously haunted or something, and people aren't wanting to buy them for anything other than take the land and scrap the building.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's not necessarily houses, although that is in the mix. Quite often it's, facilities that were, care facilities, mental health facilities, asylums, things like that. And not, you think asylum, you think, big giant buildings. A lot of times they were large houses that at some point were turned into, asylum-like facilities and now are very haunted. But originally started like as a mansion for somebody. So in terms of let's seek this out because I want to live in it, not much. I'm sure it probably has happened, but I think more so you have them almost being rescued. They're like rescue animals almost, but they are rescue houses that somebody wants to use more so for the science and trying to understand communicating with the dead on a regular basis, where it's a case where they can go in and investigate. And you take the human aspect out of it, meaning you're not trying to rid the house of something. You're not trying to get this activity to stop for a family that's being troubled. It's go in there. It's almost like training ground, but at the same point, a research facility for seeing what works and what doesn't in an area that's already proven itself to be very, very active.
Yeah.
So that's where that goes usually.
Okay.
That's my long-winded answer to your
question.
I was
just curious because I drove by one of the BTK houses when I was in Wichita, and I just wonder if those people purposely moved there because of that or if they found out afterwards.
I would think you would have a handful of people in almost every city that if they're in the market for a house at the time, they're searching for a house and they realize there was a big murder going on and they don't believe in ghosts. They don't believe in anything of, energy, and they know they can get a good deal.
Yeah.
I could see that being like, well, that house, I bet they're going to sell that. And you watch for that and then you go get it at auction or whatever. And for super duper cheap. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe in it, that doesn't even run through your mind as being a threat.
Sure.
It's just, this shit happened in this house, but the house didn't do it.
Yeah.
But others who would, even if the house isn't technically haunted, there's still energy that's going to be there from something like that. So that's where I think you could seek somebody out, but it's more of a bargain hunt.
Yeah, I could see that.
Than it is a ghost hunt or something like that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over here to a caller and hear a real ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey guys, this is Tel Asplav in South Dakota. This is actually a story about my mom that she had when she worked at a flower shop before she met my dad. Actually, I think my mom and dad were dating at the time, but before me and my sister were born. And she told me that she was working at this little flower shop that used to be a bar. And in this bar, somebody was shot in the attic. And she said the whole time that she was working there, nobody would want to go to the attic because you just get an uneasy feeling. It just wasn't right up there. Anyway, one day, I think it was probably a weekend. It was her, my mom, and one other person working in the flower shop. And, they're doing floral arrangements. Like, there's a table with a coffee can and all the tools you use to make, flower baskets and floral arrangements and stuff like that. And when my mom was standing right behind her, there was a shelf with a whole bunch of baskets on them, just a whole bunch of different sized baskets. So they're working, and my mom is behind with her back to the shelf on this table, and there's a person right across from her working, and they're the only two people in the building. My mom said that, they were just talking, and all of a sudden, the lady she's working with just stopped talking, and her eyes got really huge. Mom was like, what? And all of a sudden something hits her in the back of the head, kind of like towards the top of the head, but like still on the back. And my mom was like, what was that? She turns around and one of the baskets that were on the shelves had swung off and hit her in the back of the head. My mom said that the lady she was working with watched it, the basket slowly start to slide and then just get flung off right at my mom's head. And it wasn't like a huge basket, so my mom didn't get hurt or anything, but the lady she was working with got really, really spooked. So anyway, my mom just kind of brushes it off. They just keep working. And about an hour later, she watched the pliers that were in the coffee can in the middle of the table where all their tool was. She said that she watched a pair of pliers rise out of the coffee can, go over to the table where there's like no table, and drop on the floor. And she said after that, she kind of got a little spooked, and she was just like, okay, we know you're here. We have to keep working, and we'll be gone soon. Just please don't bother us anymore. And she said, and after that, there really wasn't any occurrences at all. So I hope you enjoyed my story. I thought I'd tell you, let you know. I love your guys' show. Keep up the good work. And if it wasn't for your show, I probably wouldn't be alive right now. So thank you, and have a good one.
Wow.
I don't know what to say to that. I wasn't expecting that line.
I wasn't either. I mean, we've had some others privately message us that, but yeah. I'm glad. Just keep listening, and we'll just keep cranking shows out, and we'll all get through this together. But as far as the story goes, I think that, you know, acknowledging the spirit and saying, we know you're here, cut it out, seemed to work. But I was kind of, you know, I was wondering where it was going to go, because it seemed to be an aggressive poltergeist because of the way it like to throw things and hit people in the head, and then it picked up the pliers, and it's like, oh, don't tell me that's going to like start stabbing with pliers, you know, because I thought that was coming next. But I'm glad that the activity has ceased since they addressed it.
Mm-hmm. I am too. I mean, and it's another example where it's like simple, worked.
Yeah.
And it even when it did seem somewhat aggressive. Thank you for sharing that story. I'm glad we can be there for you in these rough times. And, you know, don't ever, you know, let go of you know, hope that things will get better and things will change, whether it's being affected by all the craziness in our world right now or whatever you may be having going on personally. If just popping on the ghost show helps you, so glad that we can be here for you. And you can always shoot us a message too. Thank you for that story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
I was going to say, can I add something
to
that? Because that hits home for me. If you shoot us a message on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, we're approachable. We reply as much as we can, you know. It may not be immediate, but we will get back to you.
Yeah.
So if you ever feel like you just need to say something or talk to somebody or just get something out, we're there.
Yeah. Even if you have a story that, you know, you want to get out and get an opinion on or something and you don't want it on the air, you can still shoot it to us.
Yeah.
And like Jen said, though, I mean, it's difficult to give an immediate response because we do get a lot of messages. And if for some reason, after a little while, you don't get a response, shoot us a message again because we do our best to respond. But sometimes, you know, you're in the middle of something, a message pops up and then it goes into already read. I do my darndest to put unread on things when I want to go back to them. But I've had it before where I accidentally, especially Facebook, I don't know that there's an unread message option on there, where I try to reply to everything. But I know sometimes things slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
But I do my best. It's just human error.
But we're here for you guys.
Yeah, we are. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I'm going to play a call. And then I'm going to get Libby to share our story of what happened the other day. So you want to go grab her?
I'll go grab
her. Okay. Let's take a listen to this call.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Melissa from California. First of all, I love you guys' show. I'm obsessed. I became an EPP member recently. So I've been trying to catch up on all of the episodes. I know there's tons, but I'm at work. So anyway, here's my little bizarre story. So my grandma passed away about 2 years ago. She was ill, and, you know, we just watched her slowly deteriorate, and she passed away in the summer. So she was very concerned specifically about me because my parents had just moved away. So I was, you know, I was here by myself. Of course, I had my other family, but I didn't have my parents. So she was worried, and she, you know, expressed that a lot. So shortly after she passed away, I did have a few dreams of her. I didn't know what to make of them just because they were a little odd. But then I had another dream with her, and, you know, it was comforting. She gave me a hug, and, you know, I woke up like, oh my gosh, you know, feeling like a sense of relief knowing that she was okay and she was happy. So I noticed that morning I woke up, you know, feeling amazing, just, you know, having this awesome dream with her. And my son at the time was a little over a year and a half, and he was asleep in his crib. So I was getting ready for work, and I looked over at him, and, you know, he was sleeping on his back, and his little blanket was perfectly, like, over him, like someone had covered him in his little blanket. And I remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, you know, what is, like, he could not have done this by himself. So I'm like, I didn't get up during the night, and my boyfriend, his dad, you know, I don't remember feeling him getting up that night. So I didn't want to tell him anything, just because he does get a little, like, spooked, you know. He's not very, like, brave when it comes to, like, the paranormal stuff. So I didn't mention anything until I was at work. I texted him, and I was like, hey, did you happen to cover him up, you know, or wake up sometime in the middle of the night? And we do live with my in-laws, so I know no one goes into our room, especially at night while we're sleeping. And he was like, no, that wasn't me. And I was like, okay, well, don't freak out or anything. But I did dream my grandma last night, and when I woke up this morning, his blanket was perfectly laid over him. So I definitely think it was her. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? Like I said, it was very comforting to me. And yeah, I don't know. I have had more dreams of her, a few, you know, weird ones. Like I said, even after those first few, I still don't know what to make of these last ones either. But yeah. That's my story. I hope you guys enjoy it, and I hope you guys play it. Like I said, I don't know. I think it's her, but yeah, I don't think my son would have, I mean, he was a little over a year and a half. He would not have perfectly covered himself with the blanket. So yeah, hope you enjoyed the story. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. I think that adds up to a pretty logical answer, and I think your conclusion is accurate. I'm guessing it would be her. It doesn't seem that much else occurred to point to anything else other than just her being helpful and trying to do what she would probably do if she was there in physical form. So thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is a phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would greatly appreciate it. So this weekend, because it's COVID and we don't really go out to many places, going and walking around trails and stuff has kind of become our go-to thing. And we have a really great one nearby. It's a battlefield. It's the Prairie Grove battlefield. And if you look up Battle of Prairie Grove, you'll see just how horrible and horrific that battle was. Like almost what, like 2,500, if not more, people died in that battle. And for being a battlefield that you walk around on this really nice trail, it's very peaceful and serene. It's like a very calming place. And you think of battlefield, I don't know that you always think of that. But there's many structures that the city has brought in to kind of line the grounds of this battlefield that had to do with the community and the war at that time that were down the way a little bit over here, over there on this land, on that land, and they've moved the buildings onto this this plot of land. And one of them is an old area schoolhouse. You know, picture Little House on the Prairie schoolhouse or older. It is big, you know, cabin-like building. And outside of COVID, you can go in there and take a look. They have it set up like a schoolhouse, teacher desks, all of that. But right now, it's not. We were out there yesterday taking pictures, me and my two daughters, and just, you know, having fun, just enjoying some time outside, and taking pictures through the windows and things like that. But then you walk around to the back of all these structures and there's a little area that you could enter, which would be the crawl space of the buildings. And of course, that's where you guys were drawn to. And joining us in the studio here now is Olivia. And you were, what was your thought when you were over there just taking your pictures of the crawl space of the school?
Well, I was trying to get creepy pictures while we were there, and I saw the crawl space. I was like, this is like the perfect creepy picture.
Yeah.
So I went over there and I set my phone up. There's like a grate covering it so you couldn't actually like go in the crawl space. And I set my phone up against that, and it kept like switching in and out of focus. So I kept tapping it, trying to get it into focus. And when it finally focused, I set it against the grate and let go. And then I stopped it because we were about to move on to the next thing. And I was watching it with Dad, Tony. And at the end, we see this, what looks to be either two small shadows or one big shadow just walk past. And there's like no explanation for it at all.
It was very bizarre. It was, if you've seen paranormal video, sometimes I always like see before something kind of makes itself known like that, it seems like an element of the atmosphere moves or something. And you see like, it almost looks like pieces of dust or something fall straight down from the building. I don't know if it was just from the floorboards or if it was an orb or something, but it was just like, it looks like just something kind of falls. And that grabs your attention because it's like, oh, interesting. Dust, but you kind of leave it at that unless something else happens. And then right after that, it like something moves by, and it's like defined in tone of like darker to less dark, you know, and I guess it would be what people describe as a shadow person, because it looked like a shadow, but it's like a three-dimensional shadow that like moved in front of the lens and went right by underneath this old schoolhouse. And even prior to you running that video there, at the previous place that we were looking at, which was the other structure that was just down the way, I believe it was the church, very similar in structure, has a little thing below it. You were saying, my phone's acting up. I like the flash or something. What was happening with
the
it?
The flash. It was like, so I had the flash on so I could obviously take a video and see under the crawl space. The flash was flashing on and off,
which it shouldn't be doing in a video mode.
No.
And so her phone was acting up weirdly, but we didn't captured anything yet. I think we were just kind of thinking, well, you know, phones act up.
Yeah.
You know, and then right after that, we went to the next building right next to it. And then that's where that occurred. So what's your thoughts? Did you have any weird feelings there, or did you not really pick anything up until you saw the video and went, well, that's weird?
Well, I didn't really have any weird feelings, but when we went back to the back, I was kind of like, this doesn't feel like weird, but it doesn't feel quite right, you know? And then I just was like, okay, I'll just take another video, just trying to get something creepy, just zooming in around the crawl space, seeing what I can see. And then I see the dust fall, and I was like, that's odd, because obviously no one's in there walking because of COVID, and like there's no wind at all.
Yeah.
And like I thought maybe it was light, but I was standing in front of that whole like little square, so there's no way any light would get in around it. And then I see the shadow and I was like, what the fuck?
It was messed up. I don't know if you want to see it. I did post it, and we're recording this here on the 5th of October. This is airing towards the end of October. So if you want to watch, see the video on social media, it is on our Facebook page. You got to scroll back to about the 4th, or I actually posted it last night, to about the 4th of October, and you can watch the video for yourself in its entirety. I think I put it on our YouTube page too, I'm not sure. It's definitely something to see, so congratulations. You got the best ghost video that I think we've ever gotten. So I don't really seek out ghost videos, but I think I might do more of it, you know, because it's as Jen's over there, like hesitantly going, no, please don't. Please, God, no. But what's your thoughts on it, Jen?
Well, I, you know, know, we tried to
get down closer to the mic.
We've tried to debunk it as much as we can, as far as, you know, was there anybody walking behind mm-hmm. that could have made the shadow? Obviously, the schoolhouse was closed up, like you said, because of COVID, that mm-hmm. there was nobody in there. So something was caught. And when she sent it to me, I was like, oh, that's a shadow. And that's a good one. And so now we have a paranormal photographer in the family.
When she sent it to you, she goes, I wonder what mom's going to think. And I said, I wonder if mom's even going to watch it.
I did. I watched it because, you know,
yeah.
I don't typically watch the videos or yeah. the photos or anything. And it's not because I don't care. It
no.
just freaks me out. And this one did freak me out.
And that's what I explained to her. I said, mom, typically when she gets those in email, if she gets them, she sends them right to me. And yeah. it never watches them. But you saw it. And yeah.
Yeah.
It was something. Yeah.
And the first thing she said was, don't bring anything home with you.
Yeah, that was reiterated multiple times. So
that's the mom in me. Sorry.
So we didn't bring anything home this time, but there's always next. So I'm kidding. Well, thank you for coming in and sharing your account of capturing that on video. Be sure to check that out on our social media. October 4th is when that would have been posted. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at EPP. Sign up, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.